Today's episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show is brought to you by Target. Drop that beat. To think we're already at the end of July, heading into August already, just goes to show how time flies when you're having summer fun. To help ease back into the routine of school that is quickly approaching, Target is offering 60% off all kids' school uniforms. And on top of that, when you spend $50 on clothes or shoes, you're going to save an additional $10 with the kids' back-to-school sale. But parents could also celebrate, too. You guys are going to get 40% off patio furniture, including ceiling clearance. For easy access, find the Target link to this sale located in the show notes. Or you can head on over to ninababel.com/podcast, and you're going to look for the shopping link located under episode number 35. Welcome back to the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. Thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Nina Babel. And if you're listening for the first time, I help both women and men celebrate embarrassment in their lives. I take each episode very seriously because each topic represents my passion and purpose with empowering women of all ages to believe in themselves and let the past go. Besides, it's another week of free therapy, y'all. The lessons learned long ago is the road that got me here to where I am today. Without all of those experiences, I wouldn't be nearly the person that I am right now. So we're here to forget the mistakes, celebrate them, and keep it moving. Every week, I'm unapologetically myself. Some cases, it might be TMI, but I reveal what people are thinking, but not saying out loud. How's that? My stories are real and true, no made-up shit. These are real-life personal experiences, and as always, I keep it 100. I keep it real, and I keep it true.
I hope that, you know, when people hear some of these other experiences that other ladies have had, that maybe they won't have to go through it, or they'll go through less of it. Like, sometimes when you're in a situation, you might have to see or hear about somebody else's situation to put your stuff really in focus.
This is where women tell the truth, nothing but the truth, even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray. One rule of my podcast is we overshare. Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
My hand is raised. How about yours? Last week's episode 33 is living proof of the conversations women have about being spontaneous. But let life surprise you, because overplanning kills the magic. Learn what makes spontaneity sexy from my real and raw conversations with Girly Nation. In last week's episode of Morning Sip, you learned all about the different scenarios related to snooping on your man, or not. But women reveal why they need to know what they didn't want to know.
For example, my friend there, one of the things he had said, we had, was going through these just things, and it was just like, he was like, don't go through my phone. And
well, that was one of his disclaimers up front.
Right, but his ex-wife used to go through his phone.
Oh, okay, that's why he said that. I knew when you told me that he's had experiences with that, because there's no reason for anyone to come out and say that.
But not to say that's baggage, but that's his experience based on her hang-ups.
Right. And I think all of us have our own set of those quote-unquote disclaimers.
If I go through your phone, you'll know. Because I'll put it back in a way that you know that I went through your phone.
Wow. That sounds more malicious than...
Oh, I did that with... I was like, I went through his phone, it's like, I'm going to put it back so you know that I did it.
How? And what's your way of doing that?
If you put it this way... I'll put it this way.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant more what was in the phone than the position of the phone.
Well, maybe I think Keith noticed.
Oh.
Self-awareness allows you to understand other people, how they perceive you, your attitude, and you're responsive to them in the moment. It's an essential step to really a self-fulfilled life as a whole person. In today's episode, you're going to hear women in their 30s and 40s reflect on those dating lessons. Number two, how a vision board really works when it comes to dating. Number three, online versus regular dating. Number four, over 40 combos. And number 5, dating strategies. So it's all about putting your intentions out there. You're going to hear from women who reveal their struggles with realizing what the frick an intention is all about. And you know what? Putting it out there in the universe. So you're more familiar with vision boards, wish lists, past relationships, maybe even marriage and divorce, which are all examples of how these women became more self-aware about their intentions, especially when they started in their 20s, 30s, and now 40s. She got married in 10 months.
I know when I was married and I was just, you know, divorce is not an option. I just say that all the time. Divorce is not an option. And I was like, I'll probably just, we stay together and be unhappy or, you know, live our own lives. But then it was like, no, that's not going to work.
So where did you get that mind? I mean, I guess everybody should go into a marriage like, well, not, I don't know if people think that way. Divorce not an option?
Or... I would think that most women think that way. From according to one of my friends, she said that she has actually heard people say like, oh, you know, we'll try it out, see how it goes. And then, you know, if it doesn't work out, then just get divorced. I didn't think that people actually thought that way.
Going forward, Kimberly's intentions are now clearer more than ever. She knew she didn't want to fail.
Yeah, because even with me, my intent was, yeah, you stay together and you stay together forever. But I think after a while, it was just like, we're not happy. And I think the thing for me to be able to let go, because he said, you know, like you would stay together forever unhappy in a marriage because you don't want to fail. And I'm like, you're right. You're right, because I don't want to fail. I would stay together. Just say that you're still married. But then I finally came to the realization of, you know, we're still young enough to where you can find someone who makes you happy. And I don't want my selfishness of not wanting to fail prevent you from finding happiness.
Kimberly is in her 30s, divorced and dating. She met her boo using online dating. Before all that though, she was married for 6 years. By far, she knew her marriage was dead in the water.
Because, I mean, I guess like in my mind, after 3 years, it was like, this is not, it was already emotionally cut off. So even though on paper we were still married, we weren't, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Did you feel embarrassed or guilty?
No, which is bad. That's how you know it's time to go. Or it's not a marriage, because you should at least have some sort of feelings about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Feeling bad about it. Or just, you know, at that point, it's just over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever feel like it was time wasted?
No, because I think that everything happens for a reason and there's a lesson to be learned in everything, and people come into your life for a particular reason. And I think there's things that I probably would not have paid attention to or even thought about now with finding somebody had I not been married, because I just didn't think about it. A lot of stuff I just did not think about.
Claire's lesson was different, but it led her to meeting her now husband. She realized she was attracted to a man who didn't make himself available for her. She refers to this as redirecting the pain, and this was part of her mental battle until she met Jorge.
I have a scar on my hand right here, on my arm, and I was cooking jerk wings for the same guy. I burned my arm, and his first instinct was not like, are you okay? Is everything all right?
What can I do? Like, do you need...
Yeah, I was like, you need to watch, you need to be more careful, you need to watch yourself. And one time I cut myself cooking and I bled my finger and he was upset because I got blood on the floor. Or another time I hit my foot on the bed and he was like, you need to redirect the pain. And it's so funny because psychologically, like if I hit myself on something, I hear that voice, redirect the pain, as opposed to like comforting myself. So it was really difficult. I say that to say that when I got into this relationship with Jorge, who, by the way, is the opposite of all those things, and is very sensitive, by the way, It still takes time for me to even adjust to him at times, because I'm just sort of like not accustomed to that, because I would attract a person who's just not available for me. That was my problem, not his, right? And so, but I did take it out on him, or I did reject him, or I didn't embrace it, because I just wasn't accustomed to that. So that's just really interesting. I think people have to pay attention to that.
Okay, God, this is what I want. You haven't found me yet. Kimberly took a step back to figure out the lessons learned and how she wanted to approach her next relationship. The vision board was a way of prepping and setting up her intentions in December 2015. And I want you to listen to how this worked for her.
And I finally embraced, okay, I want a husband. Like, I want a partner. I want someone in life that I could grow old with and, you know, be together with. And you have that. Because the people that we went on the trip with for Thanksgiving are real close family friends of ours. And I just see, like, just how they are and how they take care of each other. And see how my parents are and how they take care of each other. And then my aunt and uncle. And it's like, I want that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want that. So when I finally was like, okay, God, this is what I want.
You put it out there.
I wrote out my intentions. I actually typed it all out. Like a whole one page of, like, to my partner. It was almost like a, not like a letter to my partner, but kind of like a thank you for being you. Or these are the things of how you are that I appreciate, that I, you know, that I love about you. You don't exist yet. Well, you do exist out there. You just haven't found me yet.
Right.
So
what intentions, like, what are the things you would have written?
It was stuff like you understand my spirituality and how I am, and you don't, like, try to, you're not judgmental, you know, about, judgmental of me about it, or, you send me, you know, random messages to say that you're thinking about me, or, you know, we have surprise date nights, or we just do adventurous things, or, you know, you love to travel and, you know, we'll travel to the ends of the earth, you know, with each other. You accept my family, you get along with, you know, my friends.
Sounds like your wish list.
So I wrote this whole thing out, posted it up on my in my meditation space in my bedroom, and we met in January.
Okay, Girly Nation, in a few weeks, I am releasing the Back to School series. The week of August 22nd, many female freshmen are going to be starting their journey of college life. For those of us who have been through it, what would you tell your college freshman self from day one to beyond graduation? Learn all the stuff no one told you. You're going to hear directly from current students, college graduates, and experts in the field of medicine, journalism, entrepreneurship, technology, and education, who all chime in with their wisdom. The countdown is on. See you in a few weeks. Her journal, her list. It became her reason to hope.
I think in my journal, I had also written out, like, all the things that I want. Like, I want this, I want that, I want that, I want that. You know, and things that I started putting out into the universe. Like when I said, he has to be someone who's in shape. Because I'm not trying to balloon, you know, I have to, that is going to help me work on getting myself healthier and, mm-hmm. and losing the weight and doing the things that I want to do. So like November, December is kind of when I did all that and I met him in January. Wow. So it was just like, all right, okay, I'm gonna go with this and see, and everything just starts just checking off.
Huh. That's interesting.
And like you were talking about, like, the list. Ideally, I don't want someone who has... Not that I don't want someone who has kids. Ideally, I would prefer someone who doesn't, but it's not a deal breaker if you do. I mean, because being in your 30s and 40s, to come across someone who, one, hasn't been married, and two, doesn't have children, is damn near impossible.
Yeah.
It's very low. Very, very low chance.
The pool is low.
Of coming across someone like that. So to me, it's not a deal breaker. And actually, the fact that he's a full-time father... And he lives with family, so they're able to help take care of his son. He's able to spend time with me.
Right.
As opposed to maybe someone where, like, the son lives with them and you have them every weekend or every other weekend. It limits the amount of time that, you know, that you can spend together. But, like, we would go on date nights, like, during the week. And we would just do fun stuff. Like, we went and played bingo. We, you know, went to Dave and Buster's. We would just do... not the typical date stuff. Because he was like, you know, what do you like to do? I'm like, I like to do everything.
Yeah.
I don't like the typical just go to dinner and the movies.
Right.
I like to do whatever. It's like, we're going to go skeet shooting. We're going to go to the gun range. Like, he was like, oh, would you be interested in going fishing? Yeah, I've always wanted to go fishing. Okay, all right, we're going to go fishing. or he was talking about like just driving up out in Western Maryland somewhere. So I get excited about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's exciting when they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not making the plan.
Exactly. I don't have to plan it.
It's like they have the ideas, and I like that because, you know, we make decisions
all the
day.
Time. Yep, all
so
day.
It's refreshing to see someone else doing it.
Mm-hmm. And that you don't have to think.
Yeah.
And it also, to me, shows that you care about the relationship, that you're like, I'm going to plan for us to do this thing.
Exactly. And those, so it's funny how you go from not having these expectations,
mm-hmm.
and I'm referring to husband number one, and then now, like,
mm-hmm.
not only do you have a list, but
yeah.
you're checking it off.
Yeah.
Or you put your intentions out there.
Mm-hmm. You put your intentions out there. And I think that's the biggest thing I would give to anybody. I don't think, like, I wouldn't go to marriage counseling, but if you think that would be helpful, then definitely do it. But have conversations, talk, ask questions. Don't feel like, oh, I don't want this person to feel like it's an interview, or oh, I don't want this person to, you know, judge me or whatever. Because I think if you're with the right person, they won't be like that. Especially if, the very first date that we went on, I asked them, you know, like, would you get married again? And he was like, yeah, I want to be married again. I want to have someone. I think everybody wants to have someone who they can grow old with and build a life together with. I'm like, we're going to have that conversation on day one. Because there's no sense in going down this road for 2 years and then be like, well, I'm not trying to be married. The hell we've been doing for 2 years then?
The day one conversations. This is the classic example, Girly Nation, of what every woman needs to use in her arsenal. She changed her dating rules. Since she got divorced, she is no loosey-goosey with her number.
Because he said he wanted to marry me, and I'm just like, okay, then let's get married. So I never even thought about, like, he's the one.
So, but even now, mm-hmm. like, or even back then when you were dating guys.
I think that's the thing, I didn't really date a whole lot.
Until you were older, or at all?
Well, I guess even if I would be hanging out with someone or dating someone, like, I could be dating you for a year and a half and you're not my boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's, and I guess because subconsciously, I knew that this ain't forever.
Okay, but you were still
so.
In it.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, okay, you want to hang out, all right, we'll hang out.
Why not just cut it off?
Because it's kind of like, I enjoy your company, I like hanging out with you.
Okay.
So eventually this is going to come to an end because I know that I don't want to marry you.
All right, but
yeah,
are you
like,
still romantic with them?
Yeah. Yeah, but like you're saying, it's now probably it would be like a no. Like, no, not now probably. Now, since I got divorced, I didn't date people or even like go out with people if I had no intentions of anything.
And
but then it was just kind of like, okay, you date people, see how things go, wait till someone else comes along and start dealing with the next person.
Online dating is the norm for everybody who is busy these days and doesn't have time to meet people the regular way. We all have stereotypes in our head, which impacts the way we meet people.
We would never have met if he didn't say anything, if he didn't approach me. Like, yes, our eyes met. Yes, we smiled. But if he didn't reach out, I wasn't going to reach out. Sorry, wasn't. That's just me. Because I come from a culture where you get introduced. So the effort is collective. You, as my friend, would introduce me. If I say I'm interested in X, you would make that introduction. And then at that point, it's up to me. So, but like you said, some people will call that being shy. Because now in today's world,
right.
That's old school thing. Now if a woman wants men, she's going to make it known. Like that's not the current generation.
Right.
The current generation. I have to say this. This is a personal struggle for me when it comes to initiating and pursuing a guy.
I'm stuck in that mold. But it's hard to step out of that mold when you've been like that all your life. You're not
right.
gonna change now, 40-something. Like.
Right.
Unless, like, I'll see the opportunity if it presents itself. like, I could talk to someone that, like, okay, so that guy at the bar yesterday, I initiated the conversation. So I'm not interested. If I was interested, hell no.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, I was like, oh.
Chatting. Like, if I had seen Dylan again, I would have been like, okay, not only would I have said my meal was perfect, but so was the chef. You know, it's, but again, I have to be in.
After a drink.
No, I didn't even have a drink when I said, oh, it was perfect. And I just kind of gave him this look.
I use my body language more than words to show my interest and comfort level. But tunnel vision is so me. In fact, what I learned, it's so us.
The most I would do is eye contact.
Yeah.
To make it look like I'm interested. But a lot of times when I look, it's just because I want to be certain, but they might construe it as...
I never know who the fuck's looking at me. Those
me
guys
neither.
Are always like, that guy, oh, he is? Oh,
really? I'm the same way. I have tunnel vision. I was like, who? They're gone. They're gone.
I know. That's me too.
Lisa and Karen refer to it as the pool. The pool of guys to pick from. But my friend Kevin also talks about the pool in your 30s and 40s. So let's listen to his version first, just to set the context of the conversation.
You know, the thing that a woman has to understand is that once you get to a certain age, past the college age, the deck is stacked in favor of men. There are fewer eligible men than there are quote-unquote eligible women, right? And so if you were to go to any dating site, there's always going to be more women than there are men. If you go to any club or any bars, more than likely, yes, you have some playing power if you're a woman, but at the end of the day, your options in there are going to be slim. Versus it's the reverse for a man. He has more qualified, well-put-together options. If you're dating for a year or two, I could be wrong here, but this is just my own whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a dude, and he's really all of that into you, he'll be trying to get it unlocked in your 30s. If he's not trying to lock it down by then, chances are he's not terribly interested in committing.
Okay.
That's just the reality of it, right? And you know, that crazy song, when a man loves a woman, yeah, you meet someone and you're like, man, I like you. I want you to meet my parents. You know, I want you to come by. I want them to meet you. And if this is going somewhere, by then you've kind of moved in. You know, you're talking about, can we move in? Can we make this kind of serious? And as a woman, you'll know it. You're going to feel it. You're going to know it. You're going to smell it.
He pursued me because I'm telling you, I wouldn't have picked him out. Because
you know what? I have not forgotten. Kim said this to me. We like guys that like us.
We do. Sometimes you tend to like people.
Unless we step, and I thought about that. Unless a woman steps to a guy, essentially we respond to the men who step to us.
In your pool, you're delegated to the pool of men who like you. Now you might not like everybody in that pool, but normally the pool we have.
Yeah. Nina, have you? Wait, I see a pause in Nina's look.
Do you pursue all the guys you like, or have they pursued you?
My pause has to do with pursuing a guy, like I mentioned earlier. The first time I ever did it was in a club, and I chose wrong. So wrong. That's why this whole, like, being introduced thing, I'm comfortable with it. It works for me. Same principle, different friends. See this oblivious thing? It comes up again, where women talk about tunnel vision.
I've been pursued, but I think it's a mixed bag.
Have you pursued
anybody? Only once or twice, but I'm trying to think.
Okay, the guy who you were really, really in love with, you thought you were gonna marry him. Did you pursue him or did he pursue you?
Well, this is how it happened. I saw him 1 year in Trinidad and was like, who the
F is that? Like, I gotta meet him. Didn't happen that year. It happened the following year. And I can't remember. We must have met through friends, and then it just through osmosis, I call it. It just happened. But that's kind of always how it's been for me.
Well, you said that vibe, right?
Yes, it's been that way for me.
The hostel. Yeah.
Like, I always see somebody I like and be like, oh, I'd love to meet. And then there's times where it's like, where did he come from? Like, I didn't. I spot people first.
And that's not the way it happens for me. Like, I mean, I see attractive people all the time, but I'm not thinking, oh, they're attractive for me. Like, I don't. Or like, I'm in their presence. Attraction. Or I'm in their. I'm kind of oblivious. Like, I'm like, kind of just going along until somebody said, till they give me
your attention.
Get my attention.
It's a vibe thing. Total vibe. Such a vibrant thing. Vibrant
thing, a vibrant thing. Nina's purpose is to empower women to celebrate women's embarrassing moments. If you're too shy, nervous, or embarrassed to ask about sensitive girly stuff, you're in the right place.
As we get older, dating in your 20s, 30s, and 40s is a different ballgame. Here's why. Oh, by the way, these aren't our morning voices.
In your 20s, you're probably looking for a man. You haven't lived life. You haven't had experiences. You're immature. You're looking for a man to do stuff for you in your 20s. In your 40s, you're not looking for that.
No, not at all. Or you see the bull crap after a while. I mean, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt, but you know, okay, if you continue to see this BS return, that's it. Because by this age, you don't need to be telling anybody anything. Meaning, you're not into coaching somebody on what to do.
No, I don't believe in telling anybody what to do or how to act. I believe you should know that.
Right, you should know that, especially by the age of 40.
Baggage. Who has more, a woman in her 20s or a woman in her 40s?
I don't know. Maybe they know women in their 40s is going to question their moves.
Well, they think you come with a lot of baggage.
Oh.
And then you're going to bring your previous, you're going to bring that baggage based on your experiences. Whereas a woman in her 20s, because they haven't really lived experiences, they don't have all that baggage or hang-ups.
Some cases it might be baggage, and some cases it's just knowledge.
Well, I think it's just based on your past experiences, whether it's good or bad.
Mary is a woman in her 30s. She makes it blatantly clear she's not the same emotional sucker that she was in her 20s.
But it was one of those reminders where it's like, well, I'm glad I have grown and I can not even get involved in this nonsense anymore. But at the same token, you have one of those, damn, I was that stupid, huh?
Yeah.
I was that much of a mark where people were just there like, well, you know, it's the weird thing about, I think, when you're like a decent person in some kind of way, people think that you're always going to be there.
Right.
And that's not necessarily a bad trait, but it's like, well, if you're shitty, why am I always supposed to be there for you? You're not, you know, you're getting back, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's one of those type of things. Right. Where it's almost an insult, where, yeah, people are like, oh, there's a decent person. Oh, there's a sucker.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you can't afford to get to a certain age and just be an emotional sucker. It doesn't mean that you might not fall for something another time or whatever, but don't try to pull the same stuff from when I was in my early 20s or maybe my teens, and I'm a woman in my 30s.
Becoming an official couple when you're older is totally different. For the most part, you both have the same end goals.
I knew when we went out that I wanted to be your girlfriend. So it was just, we're going to continue to, you know, date or whatever and just see how things go. And he was like, well, all right, well, we have, you know, we enjoy each other's company. I know that's what it is that I want. So then.
Is it because he met your boxes, you knew, like, he was the one? Like, well, how did you arrive at that decision?
Honestly, which I'm such not, like, the cliched of, you know, like, love at first sight type of thing. But our very first date, well, he considers it a date. I don't consider it, like, the first date a date. It was like, we're feeling each other out. Mm-hmm. I might not like you. Right. But that very first, when we were there for 7 hours, just talking, and it just felt natural. There wasn't, like, those weird, awkward silences, or you're trying to come up with conversation. So from that, it was like, okay, I think I like this person and I want to see where this goes.
So back to the official conversation, because I think we changed subjects.
I think you
just
brought
it up. But who brought it up? I mean, and what do you say? Like, are we a couple? Where is this going?
No, I just said.
Did you change your status on Facebook?
Yeah. I actually just said, you know, I knew the first time that we hung out that I wanted to be your girlfriend. After, you know, hanging out with you and over this time, I knew that I wanted to be your girlfriend. And for him, because I just do this so silly thing where we would be having conversations like about emotions and stuff. And I would send, you know, the emoji, it looks like almost like a red alarm. So I would send an alarm. And I'm like, this is my mushy alert. Like, I'm about to say something that's mushy.
Oh my God.
I would send a mushy alert.
She knew. And now she calls it her mushy alerts, which are so intentional. But the lesson here is, make sure you don't waste your time.
I think in some cases, I'm not going to put it all on women. I think in some cases, people just don't ask because they're afraid of, I want to run this person off. But if that's what you want, then that's what you need to ask. And if you don't, then okay.
Like, don't, yeah, deuces. It's like, don't waste my time.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be like a negative thing. It's just, okay, well then that's not the person for you. So now you've gotten them out of your way. You're not blocking you're not blocking the person who's supposed to come. Because you're holding on to this person hoping that, well, maybe they'll change. Maybe I can change his mind. Nah. Right. Find the person who that's what they want. And in that way, as you're dating each other, you're both working towards that. You know, he's going through his list, you're going through your list, but ultimately you all have the same end goal.
Kimberly really wants to be his girlfriend. She knows this. But there's a difference, she says. In her head, this is what she does. She separates the guys that she just wants to date versus the one that she wants to spend the rest of her life with. She refers to it as her love alert.
You're the only person I'm hanging out with and I want to see where this goes. All right, then we're official.
So earlier when I asked you about the one,
mm-hmm.
like you really didn't have a concrete answer.
Yeah. Because
you never thought that way.
Right.
But you just said you knew you wanted to be his girlfriend. So you've kind of calculated that he's the one that I want to be with.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess because when I think of like the one, it's like, you know, without a shadow of a doubt that this is your soulmate that you're going to be married to forever. As opposed to like, okay, I know that I want to see where this goes with the potential of marriage. Like, I want to see where this goes, and I already know where the end result is. And if something could come along that stops it from happening. But I think that's kind of how I separate, like, saying, yes, this person is the one. Because sometimes I have these internal conversations with myself, like, do I love him? I don't know.
Yeah, I do that too.
And I would think someone who's the one, it's like, I'm in love with this person. I want to spend the rest of my life with them. Because we actually had a conversation about love and the difference between being in love and loving someone. And like, to him, they're one and the same. And whereas to me, they were different.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Because I can say that I've only been in love once or twice. And mm-hmm. I think that is the normal answer. Like, you don't want to be with somebody that's been in love 10 times.
Right, it's like, you're in love with everybody.
That's all. Yeah, exactly. So, but my alarm goes off when I've been with that person for X amount of time and I don't feel those love alerts.
Right.
It could be years, and it's like, yeah. That was the case. I had been with this person for years, and when I did go to therapy for a reason unrelated to the relationship, mm-hmm. she just wanted to bring up the relationship. And it was a coming to Jesus moment for me. It was like, I don't love this person.
Yeah.
And I'm glad she brought that up, because I was in a dead end situation. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. he wasn't making any movements.
Yeah.
Another difference when you're older is you just don't need to date someone for 3, 5, 6 years to be sure. You know sooner what you're looking for. And in your 20s, yeah, we're all fickle.
He asked, do you think there's time limits or a certain amount of time that needs to be had or whatever before you decide, you know, about being married or anything like that? And I said, no, because at this age, you know what it is that you want. So you don't have to date someone for 3 years to figure out, do I want to be married to this person?
Exactly.
You already know what it is you're looking for. As opposed to when you're 20, 22, 23, it's like, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want, where I want to be. I don't want... You're still figuring yourself out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not as easy, and you change.
You're so like, what's the word? Fickle.
Yeah. 1 minute you want this. Nah, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, like, yeah, you're still trying to figure yourself out. Whereas once you hit your 30s, you should be pretty set in, one, how you are as a person, and two, what it is that you want. Not everything, but you should have a general idea of what it is that you want.
Yeah.
So when you meet people, you are checking them and their stuff out against where you're going and what you want in life. Yeah. So it's easy to just be like, nope.
Right.
Nope.
See you when I see you.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't want to go out with you. Nah, I'm good.
There's an incredible power of self-awareness in knowing that you have the power to choose and change. Lisa makes this very clear, that she doesn't want to chase a man at this stage of her 30s. Her self-awareness makes it more instinctual for her to examine a guy's behavior end to end before committing.
He said this, because what I said was, I don't necessarily want to chase a man. And they said, you wanted to sit somewhere waiting. We have to do all the work. I was like, no, it's not that. I said, I'm not saying that I'm going to wait, but I'm not waiting anywhere. And I'm not saying that I need somebody to do all of the work, but show me your interest. Like, I know when a man's interested and I know when he's not. So he said, well, let me give you a scenario. If you were out and he said, and you met somebody and you were really... You connected with that person and y'all exchanged numbers or whatever, but he didn't call you the next day and you didn't text him the next day, he didn't text you the next day, what would you do? I said, I'd probably text him and say, hey, how you doing? It was nice meeting you, and that's it. And he's like, well, I would like that. Now, mind you, he'd give me his card the day before.
It's dark upstairs, so when I came down here, it's like too bright.
Oh. Mind you, he had given me his card the day before and I sent him a note. But it was on a professional, like, hey, nice meeting you, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And so I said, yeah, I would send him, if I felt there was a connection.
Right.
I'm not so old school that I'd be like, oh, he didn't call me, so I'm never. But if we just met casually and,
yeah.
Oh, hey, what's up? How are you? Nice meeting you. That's pretty much just to put it out there a little bit. And he said, oh, I would love that, but a lot of women don't do that. If I don't call them, I'll never hear from them.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay. But I didn't necessarily think that was like, because I've done that before. Not really trying to pursue anything, but just trying to, okay, like just, I don't know. And he was like, well, he said, I would appreciate that. I like it.
What happened to the days of randomness and meeting people face to face in random places? Unannounced, unplanned, which put the fun in it. Online dating and dating multiple people at the same time is her filter. She is able to cast out the wishy-washy men and bring the good ones to the forefront.
But I used to always meet people like this in random places or just random situations.
Yeah, random.
Mm-hmm. Grocery store, crossing the street, just all kinds of random. Right. Random stuff.
I think that's a function of living in this area, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But I probably went out with, he was like the fifth or sixth person that I had communicated like with and had just hung out with. And it felt not necessarily like the one, but it felt different when I hung out with him than with anybody else that I had met.
That's why it's good to date multiple people,
mm-hmm.
because it filters out the ones, the wishy-washy
feelings. And I think it also solidifies, it kind of brings up to the surface or brings to the forefront, because it felt, all the other ones pretty much felt the same way, like, But when I went out with him, it was like, there's something different about this person that makes them stand out. Mm-hmm. So like you said, if you only date that one person, you really only have that one set. You not really have anything to compare it to. It's just like, okay, well, you can see where this goes.
She sizes up a guy every time in her head. Physical build is what she's first attracted to.
Oh, yeah?
Every guy I come across.
Yeah. So what goes through, like, what are the things that you're thinking about?
Of course, the superficial stuff first, of how they look, how they, you know, they're, like, if there's any attraction, physical attraction to them.
Are you drawn to, like, so if eyes is a thing,
their build.
Teeth, okay.
Their build.
So you're, are you, like, kind of examining them as you're talking to them?
Oh, yeah.
With your eyes, I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
And then do you go to a place where you're imagining, like, what he's like or how he kisses or...
No, I don't so much do that, but I will get nervous about it.
The timing of the first kiss means allowing him into her space.
I think the first time we kissed was the day that we had the official conversation.
Okay. So that would have been...
Like almost a month. Yeah.
Okay.
Like almost a month.
Would he attempt to try to kiss you?
No. He was very big on making sure that I wasn't uncomfortable. Because we had talked about that, of how, like, it takes a lot for me to get comfortable around someone and allowing someone to touch me, even being in my space. Hold on, this is my dad.
Okay.
Stick.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this one isn't. Not allowing people into my space, that I would just get so, like, oh, my God, he's touching me. So when we would have, like, we had that kind of conversation, he's like, hell, I don't want to do anything.
Right.
To end up messing that up. So, no, he was very, like, respectful.
Are you trying to call your dad back?
He's texting me to say he's leaving the school now.
Okay.
He was very conscious of not wanting to do anything to make me uncomfortable.
So, when in the past, if a guy didn't respect your boundary,
I would totally just, and that would be a total turn off.
Okay.
Save the best for last. The kicker. The last message. Sometimes the biggest lessons we learned about ourselves comes from others. From the way others respond to us, but also from the way we see ourselves portrayed by others. Self-awareness is an honest and freeing journey with oneself. Leaving a take-it-or-leave-it message. This makes us feel empowered, not making the same repeated mistakes about dating, breakups, bad dates, and making those course corrections and getting healthy. I constantly find myself comparing myself to what I should be. In the end, not every woman was meant to get married and have children. That's a big self-awareness flag to embrace. The pressure we get from society is insane.
Don't be afraid to be by yourself. That's so true, you know, because I was like a serial dater. Don't be afraid to be by yourself. Because if marriage is not for you or long-term relationship is not for you, then just be fine with that and live your life and enjoy your life and do things to make yourself happy. That's what I would say. I didn't learn that until like my 30s, though.
Yeah, did you know that?
I was uncomfortable being alone.
That's what I would say. Don't be afraid to be by yourself.
The most incredibly liberating thing in the world is realizing that you have all the answers now. Is marriage your goal? Because this is a classic example of what us women are socialized to think.
Were you excited?
About getting married?
Yeah. It's always been a goal of yours?
And I think for me, it's just kind of like that's what you're supposed to do. Then it was like, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, go to college, you graduate, you find a husband, you get married, you have kids. that's just what life is supposed to be.
Yeah.
So I never really thought about it. And I think that's something that being with him kind of forced me to do, was to think about what I wanted in a husband that I didn't really think about before.
The rose-colored glasses. She's learned never to let feelings get in the way of seeing things as they truly are. Mary's self-awareness proves she isn't afraid to be alone. In fact, she says it is and was necessary for women to use that time to tap into a better person than they were in their 20s. Her intention is to be happy with herself.
That's one little story where it's just like I was kind of forced to remove the contacts and the rose-colored glasses and be like, what's in front of me? What's here? Where was I before and how did that shape me in my earlier 30s to the point where I'm at right now, where it's like, yeah, I'm not in a situation presently, but I'm not unhappy about it. I kind of maybe had to get away from all of that stuff to get comfortable with me.
Right.
Like, really comfortable with myself, and I'm pretty happy about that. And if I am meant to find that compliment, they'll be with a me that's really way more together than it was in my 20s.
It is August. Lisa says, do your homework. She's been traveling so much with her job and doing too much. She's more self-aware about her relationship patterns, which is why she wants to be alone and take it slow.
You can't be too picky or choosy. You'll find yourself by yourself. Okay, then I'll be by myself. I'd much rather be by myself.
That's probably been my problem. I am picky.
Yeah. And but what I was saying was, I don't even know what it was. It was something like, I'm just being caught. Because, like, I just met him in June. Every day until, like, last week, he was like, be my woman, be my woman. Dude, I've only been out with you a couple times.
Whoa.
Because I've been traveling so much. Like, well, when are you going to be? Dude, no. Like, oh, and I had to hit him with, I'm dating other people. I think he almost, like.
Oh, that's like a more of a turn on for him.
Yeah. But he was like, oh, I can't believe you. Da, 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 da. Next day. Good morning, my love. How are you? Da, 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 da.
I'm hearing.
And I'm just like, do you need to back off? And I told him one day, I'm like, I'm not ready for a relationship right now. I'm doing too much. I just don't know. And I'm being very cautious and very selective because I know how this goes. For me, I'll go out on a few dates with somebody. And then before I know it, I'm in a full out relationship with this person. I know it's happened to me before. And you're like, whoa. And then you look over and years gone by. And
right.
I'm like, oh, I'm not trying to do that. Like, I'm trying to do my homework up front and, like, is this who I want to be with? Because the next relationship or two that I'm in, I want it to be moving. I don't know if it's marriage, but I want
you
a life
both
partner.
Want to start off
yeah.
with that commonality.
And then he wrote back something like, oh, well, you can't be too choosy. You can't be too picky. But say, okay. But I can be.
Know when you're not ready for a relationship. Don't date. Use that time wisely to get to know yourself better.
Wow, mm-hmm. I experienced that. That was part of my experience with him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, it wasn't just me. So in a way, it was just sort of like validating to hear that, although it was unfortunate, it was validating because I was like, I wasn't crazy. Like, it wasn't.
No.
Shit wasn't just me. So it was just really interesting. So I think that there are things about a person's character that they just bring with them because it's an essence.
Look, long term, and it goes back to your grandmother. Marry the man who loves you, who is in love with you, not the one that you're in love with. Because there's a whole bunch of shit that we will give men throughout the course of our relationship with them. But they can handle the shit. We cannot handle it.
Right.
We cannot handle that bullshit if it was reversed.
Unlike Claire, Kimberly really feels like this theory doesn't work anymore in 2016. At least not for her.
So, like, if you go through the old school
mm-hmm.
mentality, like, my grandmother would always say, marry somebody that loves you and you don't love.
I don't think that could work nowadays. I don't. I don't know if it's because I've heard people say that before. You know, marry someone who loves you more than you love them. But I know for me, I would end up not wanting to be with you anymore. You know, I have to have that desire to want you and to want to be with you. After a while, it's like I get bored with you if that's not there.
Right now, I am happiest when single, till proven otherwise. In fact, so happy at times that I fear it might keep me this way forever. Unless I meet somebody worth giving up. And that wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girls show. It's all about putting your intentions out there and leveraging the universe to channel your spirit and message. Meeting the wrong men while dating is a cause for concern, and perhaps a therapy session or a guest appearance on the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. Singleness has definitely been viewed among society as some sort of disease, and it's just simply not true. I really cherish both my single and relationship days. It's about the aha moments, advice, and lastly, mother friggin' girlfriend knowledge. Women want to know what other women consider normal. What are you all thinking? And more importantly, what are you all saying out loud about intentions when it comes to dating or even just choosing singleness? And there's no manual on this. You create your own based on what works for you and your personality. I can only give you the options. It's up to you to make a better informed decision based on what other women have told you, including myself. New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girl show drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and now iHeartRadio. Before you leave, give me some love, Girly Nation, on iTunes or Stitcher. If you like this episode, kindly leave me a rating and 5-star review. Never, ever, ever miss another episode by hitting the subscribe button. I rely on it because it helps me stand out from the crowd and helps women, and even you men, understand us and themselves better. Help me share the Keep It 100 Girl message worldwide. Spread the realness of this episode with your girlies and homies. Heck, I'm even on Patreon if you really want to support me. Visit www.patreon.com/keepit100girl. So enjoy your Tuesday and tune in Friday for another episode of the Keep It 100 moment. Remember, I keep it 100, I keep it real, I keep it true. Smooches!